You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
It's just happened too many times.
Go
where
for
I
it.
Finally said no thanks.
Well, you're hanging out in a lot of lines these days with old people.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
I always like to start a Monday with a quick little yes guy, no guy. Is that the greatest sporting event you've ever seen? Super Bowl last night?
I thought you were going to say Leafs Bruins on Saturday night.
That was
wasn't that one hell of a game?
I don't think that was the great. I think there were a lot of people with, as you pointed out on your Twitter account, white underwear.
White boxers and a 4-1 lead in Boston. You can't trust either thing.
I thought there were some people that had taking care of their underwear.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. And we'll talk about that game. And we'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. They're in Brooklyn.
Great
I
ice.
Think. Maybe it's in Hartford. I don't know where the Islanders play anymore. But you can hear the game right here on TSN 1050. But that Super Bowl last night, I don't know if it was the greatest game because it was the tale of two games, right? The Falcons were steamrolling them for a while, and then the Pats were steamrolling the Falcons. But it was as memorable of a sporting event as you can ever come across.
Maybe that's the wording, memorable.
Right.
As opposed to great game because it was blowout and then blowout back and game over.
Classic. Like, that's what it was, right? But, like, when you think of great sporting events, I'm joking about the Leafs Bruins.
Right.
But there's lead changes. There's some drama. Everyone on planet Earth had that game over. Like, the Falcons, it was done. It was done.
Well, you talked about the Maple Leafs in Boston. That game yesterday and the Maple Leafs playoff game, Game 7 in Boston, they had one thing in common. At one particular point in the game, the odds of Toronto and Boston winning were, or the other team winning, were 99.99%.
Right.
Like, Leafs are going to win this game.
It was
Falcons
over.
Are going to win this game. And they ended up losing.
That's exactly what the Falcons just, they found their Game 7
yeah.
in Boston. That's what Falcons fans are going to deal with for the rest
yeah.
of their life.
Those players waking up okay. today, last night you have a couple beers and you get over it and you get wasted and it's like, what the hell do we do? You wake up this morning saying, did that actually happen?
You are sick to your stomach.
You're throwing up.
There are some sick. But I know this is not ideal, but again, I don't like this overtime format.
Yeah, it's like your fate is dependent on a ref throwing up a coin.
A coin toss.
You know whoever won that toss was going to win the game.
I don't know about that.
Dude, come on.
Dude, the way Matt Ryan, like the Falcons were flustered. When the Pats won the toss, it was over. Brady was so locked in. He was so in the zone. There was no way the Patriots weren't winning that game. Same thing, Leafs-Bruins. When that went to overtime, turn your TV off. The Leafs right. had a 0% chance of winning in overtime. The Bruins were winning. The same thing with the Pats when they won the coin toss. But I don't think it would have been a foregone conclusion if the Falcons won the toss because they gave up 31 unanswered. They couldn't get anything going. They were flustered offensively. Matt Ryan all of a sudden looked like a guy who was going to choke the game away.
Yes.
He turned into Matty ice cold.
Exactly. Right? And that was his problem for a long time. Biggest game, Matt Ryan can't get the job done. So I hear you, and a lot of people are complaining about the OT rules. But
well,
listen, man, don't blow a 25-point lead, and you don't have to worry about a coin toss.
100%. But this is somebody, I'm a casual fan now, loved the game last night. And I told you, I started rooting for the Patriots at the starting of the season this year. So it's not
good
like I'm this
start.
Long
good year to start.
Yeah, but it's not like I'm this long-standing fan. All I could think about is in overtime. Okay, so the touchdown happens. They don't get an opportunity. Like, Atlanta has no chance to get. Like,
right,
to me, shouldn't it go back the other way? You got one hold downs to get a touchdown, too.
And that's the way they do it in college. But the counter for that is stop them.
Yes.
Stop them.
I get.
Right? You don't have to allow a touchdown
agree.
There.
I agree. 100%.
Stop them. And it's just the way the game is played. I think in a perfect world, I would take a page out of the NHL's book during the regular season, you have it the way it currently is, like in the NHL, 5 minute, 3-on-3, and then shootout. But when the NHL gets to the playoffs, it's 20 minutes, go until somebody scores. The equivalent here, I think, would be allowing both teams to touch the ball on the offensive side of things. But it doesn't matter now, it's over. And Tom Brady, let's call a spade, he was awful in the first half. Yeah. I thought the game was over when he threw the pick six.
Me too. I'm like, this is not their day. He does not do that.
No, he was confused. He was flustered. He was getting hit. He looked petulant. He was complaining. He looked like an old man, too.
Yeah.
He was, like, if they lost last night.
People would be saying today, is this guy going to continue to play?
Absolutely. Like, the first Monday of the NFL season is called Overreaction Monday, right? Yeah. Because everyone's got it bottled up. They've been waiting so long to see games. And that, the whole day, you're saying the teams
this
that won
sucks,
are great.
That guy sucks.
This guy's great. That guy's going to be up for the MVP. He's going to rush for 2,000 yards. Right. Everyone has an overreaction. If the Pats lost last night and Brady continued the same pace in the second half that he had in the first half, it would have been overreaction offseason in New England.
Well, even after the following the year after the performance against the Broncos last year.
Right.
It's like great regular seasons, but once you get there, you're not really getting it done.
And Brady shut everyone up with the way he played the final 18 minutes of the game.
I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
He said today he's having too much fun. He's not retiring. Why would you retire? Guy's still the best quarterback, or right there anyway.
That was ridiculous. Like his, I loved his speech on the podium with Bradshaw. Like, we're bringing this home. Like, he got intense. Like, it was basically like a giant FU to like anybody who didn't believe in what was going on. And, you know, the Goodell.
The Goodell was just hovering. That had to be so awkward for him.
Oh, yeah.
He would have been happier than a pig in you-know-what when they were up 28-3.
Yeah.
Keg stands. Like, just so happy that he didn't have to walk out there and pretend as if he was happy for the Patriots.
Belichick was brilliant, too. Like, his comments on the podium, too. It's just like
crazy. He's already said we're 5 weeks behind.
Can we get to that for a moment? Do you know how annoying that is?
I know. Like, really?
Like, shut up for a minute, okay?
Like, we're 5 weeks behind in the 2017 season.
Right.
Really, Bill?
That's why the other 31 teams in the league hate the Patriots, and every coach in the league wants to just dropkick Belichick right in the head.
Sucker him. But that's how he's wired. Guaranteed he woke up today, it's like, yeah, I've got to figure out my game plan for practice.
Right, draft is right around the corner.
Day one of training camp.
He would cut people today if he could. Imagine you got cut right after winning the Super Bowl.
You're not joking. I think he would.
I think he would, too.
Looking at the roster going forward, if he had to make cuts today, I think he would do it.
I think he'd review the tape and say, that guy missed a big assignment. You're cut.
Well, the guy who took the holding penalty.
Right.
I can't remember. I can't remember his name, but
it was Bennett.
Bennett, yeah. Mm-hmm. Took a holding penalty. The lasers from Belichick, because they flashed right to the sidelines. Like, that guy's cut.
He is in hero mode already. Like, what are you worried? That the Bills are taking advantage of a 5-week head start on you? You're really worried about
either
that, Belichick?
Way, that was.
But it was incredible theater last night. And again, I'm not even sure how to define it. I think classic works. I think memorable works. I didn't think it was possible for Brady to improve on your legacy. I thought he was the greatest of all time before last night. Somehow this adds to it.
Yeah.
Somehow this adds to the resume.
He's got to be creeping up to the greatest player that's ever played.
I mean, for me, he is. We talk about this all the time, and you argue with me all the time. How do I compare him to Johnny Unitas? How do I compare him to great players of the 70s and 80s? I didn't get to see them play, but the resume now speaks for itself. Guy's got 5 rings, 4 Super Bowl MVPs.
It is gross.
He's probably going to get back to another one. I mean, how do you bet against them, right? Like, because I kind of think that maybe that's what happened last night. You look at the Mount Rushmore of the Big Four. Jordan's on there for the NBA.
Gretzky's
on there.
Yeah.
I would say Babe Ruth is likely the baseball representative and has been for the last 100 years or close to it. I think Brady might be the guy now for the NFL. I think it's Brady, Gretzky, Jordan, Ruth. Like, that is the Mount Rushmore of Big Four sports. That's what he accomplished last night. What a career, and it's still going.
It is. Scary.
It's incredible. But I thought overall, you know, it was trending towards being a very forgettable game. It was a very forgettable season overall. There wasn't that many compelling storylines, and the playoffs were not that great.
Playoffs leading up to the Super Bowl. What was there? One good game, Green Bay at Dallas?
That's it, man. That's it. Yeah, that's and this kind of saved the playoffs, saved the season. This becomes a memory for every single NFL fan. And, you know, Lady Gaga, I thought.
She was unreal.
She was pretty impressive.
She didn't.
Just jumping off the roof
that
alone,
was insane.
Man. There's no way I would have the stones to do that.
Did she actually do that?
Oh, yeah.
She jumped off the roof.
She was at the top of the dome, was she not?
It was weird the way they cut it.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of TV work there.
She got down somehow. She was. What are you saying, that was like a hologram up on the roof?
Do you think
that was a hologram? Are you calling conspiracy?
All I'm saying is you can take earlier in the day.
Okay,
jump off the roof.
James Duthie was there last night. Did he? We got to ask at some point if somebody was there and is listening right now. Send us a note if she jumped right off the top of the roof, or you believe that that was maybe taped earlier and then she came in.
All I know is when I was watching Gaga with all the lights and the costumes and the people dancing, I was like, wow, I saw McCartney on a piano and that's it.
You hate Paul McCartney. Why do you hate McCartney so much?
Because
he was a Beatle.
It was my halftime show, Paul McCartney.
You got to see a Beatle live.
Yeah.
Do you know how much greater that is than Lady Gaga?
Yeah, but I would have been rather one of the guys on the ground with the glow sticks.
Let me get this straight. You'd rather Poker Face than Let It Be.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
100%. 100%.
That is such a gross statement.
That is.
That's really
he's
gross.
He's mad at McCartney.
Right.
Like it's his fault.
No, but it was awesome. I'm like, this is so energetic. And this guy was.
Lady Gaga was great.
Just tickling the ivories.
He's tickling the ivories.
He's half asleep.
But he's McCartney.
I would take McCartney every day of the week. But Gaga, I thought, again, if it was legit, she jumped out of. Out of the
Even
sky,
if it
essentially.
Wasn't, at some point, she did.
I mean, think I about what you would it. Do in that situation. It's like jumping off a high diving board. I would lay down, stick my legs over, and then slowly just.
You talk about wearing white boxers.
Oh,
not happening there.
Dude, I'd go unconscious. I would pass out in the air, and that would be the end of the show.
She was dancing in the air on the way down. Like, she was unreal.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge fan of hers, to be honest, of her music. Respected a ton, but. She put a show on, and at the starting, I don't know if she did make a political statement or not. To me, she just, it's unity for all, let's move on. And
I can support that.
I thought from start to finish, she was outstanding.
Yeah, I thought she did a great job. More memorable catch, the Julio Jones catch or the Julian Edelman catch?
Edelman. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's when you knew the game was over. It's like, this guy can't.
When he caught that, you had to feel pretty good that Brady was going to find a way to get in. I think the Jones catch, it was a greater catch based on the athleticism, based on the impossibility of it all.
Okay.
Edelman needed some help, right?
It had to go off. Like Jones to like find that ball.
I'm not sure another wide receiver in the league can catch that.
No.
Because of his height, because of his athleticism. For him to get 2 feet in by more than a foot.
Yeah, there was.
Like that catch on its own. Was one of the great catches of all time. Like the Odell Beckham Jr. catch from a couple of years ago, I put it in that same category. But the Edelman catch will be the one that people see on highlights forever because the winning team is always going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Well, and that was, you could just feel, like you said, in the first half, Brady wasn't, he couldn't, there was nothing happening for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked rattled. Like Atlanta was all over him.
Brady can get a pout on more than anybody when he's down and getting beat up.
He gets angry.
But second quarter, he was throwing darts. Like, overtime, that was –
It was over,
you knew
man.
It was over.
You could see the Falcons were like, we're going to stop this guy now.
He was
– Like, there's no chance.
He was kicking it wide. Like, he was on fire. It was gross.
Well, and that's the amazing thing, that so many things had to go right for them that – You have to consider it a massive choke job for the Falcons, clearly. Like in Atlanta, sports radio, phone lines are open. They're not talking about Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
They're looking for someone to be treated as a human pinata.
But who would you out of that? Like if you're sitting there,
I think it's the coaching staff. I think the fact that, you know, third and one in your own, what, on your own 25, up 16, and you're in shotgun. You got to run that ball. You got to kill the clock. You got to try to pick up the yard. That's what allowed Hightower to come off the – off the edge, strip sack, see you later. Next thing you know, it's an 8-point game.
Right.
And then
they were in field goal position.
He allows himself to get sacked. The hold cost them. Then they got to punt the ball. I mean, I got to put it on Ryan to an extent because you cannot get sacked in both of those situations. And you got to put it on the coaching staff because they kind of pulled a Pete Carroll and kept trying to throw the ball. Like, run the ball and try to pick up a couple of yards and at the very least kill some clock.
Right.
Right? Don't give the Patriots an opportunity to take advantage of you. I mean, try to slow it down any which way you can. But everything went their way. I mean, the fact that that strip fumble took place, the fact that they converted on two-point conversions, you right. stop one of those. And I think the Falcons are sitting here today as Super Bowl champs.
I mean, you can sit here all day and be like, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but there were so many elements where you're like, what about this? What about that? What if Edelman doesn't catch it?
It's right.
like the two-point conversions where they just automatically convert, where it's like, are they actually like, for once, not going to convert the 2 points?
What if you get a stop in overtime, right? What if you? What if he stopped on the 1 yard line? What if it's a fumble? Like right. if you're a Falcon player again, you'd be going over everything, let alone the head coach. Like Dan Quinn was being touted as the guy who brought down Belichick,
right?
And now he's kind of a goat today, and it's not an admirable way when we use that term.
Yeah, goat. There's a lot
like
out
the
there.
The original goat.
What is that? What does it stand for?
Well, the greatest of all time is the acronym, right?
But because I was, everyone.
I just found that out this year.
I know, so did I. Honestly,
because I was like, why are they calling this guy a goat? Like, why?
And it's the
Federer a goat, really? Freddie the goat's a goat, but Federer goat. And then I'm like, greatest of all time.
Because even LeBron's message today was, did you see him? I think he came out on Instagram. Or
Monday. Yeah, all the great athletes like amongst each other. You're the goat. I'm like. Yeah. All that's right. nice.
Well, he is. Brady is the GOAT.
Brady's on a different level. How about that guy's life?
I know.
Giselle's his biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
Imagine having Giselle in a private box cheering for you, and it's like 5 Super Bowl rings, like probably one of the best-looking guys in the world.
The ultimate revenge, too.
His teeth are perfect.
The ultimate revenge.
It is.
On everything. I mean, Goodell tried to stick it to him.
Why
man.
Do you think people hate him? It's because you want to knock him off his pedestal.
That's
they're like,
right.
this guy has money, fame, everything.
And all he wants to do is win, and that's all he ever does
it's
is win.
It's insane. But like, then they're like, oh, you're a cheater. Like they're always attacking him for cheating.
Everyone wants to take down the king.
The funniest thing is how many people had the Jordan crying face at 28-3? On Belichick and
absolutely
and Brady. That's all I saw, like Deadspin and all these like.
What about Marky Mark? Couple things. Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg left the building.
Yeah,
he claims his son wasn't feeling good.
That's bogus.
That is such a load of crap. That is
He's
such
like, I'm
a load
out
of
here.
Crap. He had to think of something, and he used one of his kids.
Right. He had to because
he had pictures the whole night. His kids like this, eating popcorn, he's smiling, he's loving life.
Here, eat 5 chocolate bars and go throw up in the bathroom.
He's supposed to be the super fan, right? Like Mr. Boston Sports,
yeah.
Marky Mark.
He bailed.
And he bailed when they were down 28-3.
He did. He bailed. I don't care.
There's
obviously,
no other way
family.
Around it.
Because he came back, he came out on Twitter or whatever. And
yeah,
said,
he's like, there's a reason here. My kid wasn't feeling good.
It's completely bogus.
And it's awful to make assumptions about somebody's kid being sick, but that just doesn't seem right.
No, that
they
seems
were wheeling
like
out of that building. They were looking pretty smooth.
Yeah.
There was nobody that was looking sick. And another thing is, the Falcons owner, he wheels down to the sidelines when it's 28-3. If I was a player, I would have said, get your ass back up to that box. What do you think you're doing? Would you do that?
And watching him throughout the fourth quarter.
He was having a nervous breakdown in the fourth quarter.
I thought he was going to pass out. Like, every time the Patriots did something.
He
or
wanted
every
to
time,
sell the team in the fourth quarter.
He wanted to. Anytime the Falcons made a mistake, the camera went right to Arthur Blank, and you thought this guy's soul was, like, leaving his body. And his poor wife is sitting there. She's terrified because she doesn't know what to do. She knows that everything's crumbling. She knows she's got to live with this guy for the rest of his life, and he's freaking out about everything. You're right. When the owner comes down too early, that is the kiss of death.
The kiss of death. An owner comes down to the sidelines up 28-3. Sorry, bud. Get back to the private box.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people are pointing out. It looks like Gaga may have taped that earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah. It's not a bad.
Nobody jumps off the building to start the show.
That
what happens,
even.
Dude? You're an idiot if you thought that was real.
I thought it was real, but it is. It now that you think about it, the cut away.
The cut was very blatant.
It was a blatant cut.
It was like she jumped, and then all
I
of a sudden.
All I kept thinking is there a green screen behind her for the stars to be lining up? Like you had to wonder where she was.
Right.
Because they weren't doing that in the sky.
Well, those were drones they had flying around.
It was amazing.
It was very well done. I mean, that kind of takes something away from it. But, hey, if you jumped, you jumped.
She was still floating around.
I thought she was awesome.
She did a very good job.
She looks like she's starting to be a little bit normal, too.
Yeah, she's had some weird outfits.
Well, she's into the whole Tony Bennett thing now, and she's an actress, right? Like, she's won some awards.
Yeah.
She's in some, like, Amityville show or something like that.
I think I've seen.
So, Lady Gaga, I guess maybe she's starting to come around a little bit. I don't know.
Well, she's going more mainstream. You had 100 and whatever, 20 million people watching your show last night. I don't think there were too many negative comments about what she did. I thought she was outstanding.
Yeah, everything came
together.
Whether
you like her music or not, she put together a pretty solid show.
She's my grit grinder.
Really?
You're going to give her a shout-out. A premature shout-out for the grit grinder.
I'm going to do a premature shout-out, too. Brady for taping that commercial.
He tapes a commercial about the five rings and takes a run
that
at Goodell.
That is some serious stones. I would have been like, I'll shoot this the day after, but I can't.
All right, do you want to hear it? We have the audio.
Oh, we have it? That's amazing.
Tom?
Hi.
Welcome to Shields MRI. Would you please remove all jewelry and place it in the locker?
Oh, yeah. Sure, no problem.
Tom Brady trusts Shields MRI. You can, too.
That all?
Actually, no. I forgot this one. It's kind of new.
We're going to need to get you a bigger locker.
Roger that.
Shields.
So he's referring to his Super Bowl rings.
And Roger Goodell. He takes a little bit of a run at Roger.
Roger that.
He's a terrible actor, Brady.
Yeah, but that was... Yeah. Can you imagine writing that script and
coming
going,
from
you,
Love It, Thanks, Boy?
Yeah, can you film this before the Super Bowl?
Well, how much do you think they had to pay for that? I mean, he's not doing it for free, let's be honest.
I know, but would you...
Tom Brady, you're going to have to pay him a lot of cash.
Millions of dollars, but what I'm saying is, even if you're somewhat of a superstitious athlete, you're like, I'm not talking about... I don't say the word shutout when I'm doing color. And I'm trying to protect the goaltender in the net who I have no... control over.
Okay, well, what do you think the jinx fee would be? Like, how much more do you think they had to pay for that, for Brady to come around on the idea of just blowing the doors off any superstition whatsoever?
Well, he obviously shot two commercials.
Well, it's just like the hats that are made. There was Atlanta Falcons hats made with champions on it, but you know what? They just go in the garbage if they lose.
No, they go right to Africa. That's what always happens. They send them over to, like, third world countries and stuff. And
so there's people with... They can't
a eat, lot of times, anyway.
People can't feed themselves, but they got a Super Bowl Atlanta Falcons hat on.
Well, you might as well. It's better than throwing it in the garbage.
I know, but like...
I mean, why not?
Maybe fire in a can of soup or
yeah,
something,
I was just going to say, you better make sure that food's going with that. Or,
well, there's truth in that, but...
Some struggling nations. Here, let's get a free cap that's not even true.
I don't know what to tell you.
Is that fake news?
Don't shoot the messenger.
That's
I don't think
fake
it is.
News, I'm
maybe
you.
I'm lying about it. Who cares?
Let's hope you are.
I wonder what the jinx fee would be, though.
Oh,
I wonder if Brady would say, "You got to throw in an extra like $2 million for me to do that."
For sure.
Like, what is superstition worth,
dude,
and what is money worth?
He's not making $2 million for that commercial.
He's making a fortune. You think Brady's getting out of bed to do commercials?
For an MRI commercial? You think they would have said to him and said, we're giving you $2 million?
During the Super Bowl? Absolutely.
They have to pay probably $3 to $5 million just to get that spot on there, that MRI company.
Absolutely. During the Super Bowl, those guys, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's like $10 million.
I would say, Tom Britton, no more than $500,000 for that commercial.
The NHL paid Snoop like $500,000.
No, they paid him $300,000 to swear on stage.
The NHL pays Snoop.
I don't know how we're going to find out, but they're not paying the guy $2 million for a commercial.
I'm saying $2 million on top for the jinx effect.
I'm with Hayes on this. I think he's making a lot more than $500,000 on that commercial.
Who the hell makes $5 million for a commercial?
Tom Brady.
What would Tiger in his heyday make?
Nobody makes $5 million for a commercial.
All I would read about was
find out. Tiger. Is there any way to find out what he made for that?
It's close. I mean,
I guess we'll
the
look
source
into
paid
it.
A lot for us. I'll tell you that.
That's right. We're in the same ballpark.
We're in the same ballpark. I'm guessing at the minimum. Would be over $1 million. Minimum. He's not even looking at that set.
Minimum.
But you're
right. You see all these guys. Like Tiger and them. They make $60-80 million a year on endorsements.
Right.
Kobe, what do you think Brady's making?
What are we worth then? We got an iPad and earphones.
Yeah, but
that's about it, man.
Love It, Thanks has become a staple of this show.
We should be lucky that we got it. We should be lucky we didn't get Falcons championship gear.
You know what? Over under. Over under.
soup.
Over under. that the source is circling back this year?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm under the number.
Jerry's percentage.
I'd say 5%.
68%. They're circling
back. Well, I'm not doing it unless less than 25 grand.
Well, all of a sudden you're saying, really? Well, now they're not circling back.
If Brady gets 5 million, I want 25 grand.
You think you're worth 1% of Brady?
How about a new snowboard?
Yeah, I do.
How about we give you a new snowboard?
Yeah, we got to get into the snowboard.
Although I tried that tactic once.
What?
I did a cell phone commercial. Someone's got to find this. For like, I don't know what it was, AT&T or whatever down in Carolina. And they came back to me and said, we would like to do a series more of commercials. And I got my lawyer buddy to send them a note saying, if you're going to use my client, this is one of my best buddies.
A lawyer buddy. In other words, like what? An intern living in his parents' couch?
He is like a high-end lawyer. Like he's a partner at a firm.
Right.
He's like, if you're going to use Jeff O'Neill services, we're going to do out a contract, and the price is going to be $25,000, and then a certain amount per commercial after. And they wrote back, no, thank you.
Three words, no, thank you.
And we went over this. He's like, this is about fair for what you're going to be doing with the company. And they wrote back and said, no.
Nice negotiating tactic. Just a stiff no.
Just a solid. What if there was emojis back then, there would be a middle finger come right back. No, thank you. With a middle finger attached.
Just a middle finger. Thanks for coming out. We're getting chirped because apparently everyone knew that Lady Gaga filmed it before the show.
Including me.
I didn't.
No, you were speculating. You didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you see the jump where she looks into the camera and is like the Batman leap?
I think the cut is what threw me off. Like, it was a sharp cut, right? If that's live, I think you're watching her actually fly into the stadium. Doesn't matter when it happened. Full credit to her.
I said to Steph, too, that I thought she was voice-overing some of the lyrics. You would tape that and voice over it. It's not lip-syncing because you're singing to your own song, but I think there would have been some voiceover there with that amount of dancing and stuff.
I think it has to be.
And it's probably a known thing that they would do that. I don't know, but she was getting lifted up and spun around and
she's still nailing the notes.
She's got a little voiceover help there, too, but she was outstanding. Like, I don't have a negative thing to say about her. And the jump, whether it was pre-recorded or not, you still...
Hey, she
looked
jumped.
Amazing.
She jumped off the roof. I mean,
I wouldn't have jumped.
Andrew just sent us a tweet, and this is exactly what I would be doing. Mr. Beaning it at the top of the stadium, just like a snake, barely getting over the roof, holding on. I'd probably bail. They'd probably have to send, like, emergency workers up to get me off the roof. There's no way I would jump.
Well,
yeah,
no way.
I got back on the snowboard trail, and they almost had to send emergency crews for me.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into that. A lot of people want us to get into what happened on Saturday night. The Maple Leaf game was incredible theater.
It was.
And they're back in action tonight, and they're in action tomorrow night. I mean, they got four games in the next six nights.
Told you, it's a lot of hockey.
Honestly, a joke.
It's crazy. Anyway.
I'm with Babs on that.
Oh, really?
We talked about this on Friday. We'll circle back with that because five games in 8 days, the schedule it hits everyone. And it's their turn, and they've got to fight through it.
This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. So I've had a bit of a crazy day. I haven't really been on Twitter. That's why I guess I missed out on all of this stuff about Lady Gaga and... some of the other issues that people are...
Shapovalov, or what? How do you pronounce his name?
Oh, you're talking about the Canadian tennis player who almost killed the Cherub.
That's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in a sport.
Now that I know that...
He rifles the ball right into his looker.
I have to be honest. Now that I know the umpire is fine, I laughed as hard... Like, I couldn't stop laughing.
I have the same approach.
Steph came downstairs. She's like, what the hell are you laughing at? I'm like, he couldn't... I mean, it was a bomb. And for people that are going to get on me, I had a lot of things shot at my head every day of my life. And I'm glad the ump is fine or whatever you call it.
But you knew the pucks were coming. You signed up for that. If you're
a
chair ump.
This guy is just like cruising some ladies in the crowd.
And he gets
and
a
he
ball
gets
in the
just
eye.
Destroyed.
That kid, he put some ump heat
on it.
Behind that,
but,
too.
But he came out on Twitter, a real nice apology today. He made a mistake.
He didn't mean to hit the guy.
No.
He was frustrated. He was losing the match anyway. He meant to hit it up into the stands and smoke someone in the stands instead of the chair ump. But I'm with you, man. I have the same approach on that kind of stuff. If you tell me afterwards the guy is fine, I will retroactively laugh my ass off.
I couldn't stop laughing.
I couldn't stop laughing. Either. It's like at golf tournaments, man. When the Patriots are walking around, they take a Pro V in the back.
Yeah.
And they go down and do the chicken wing. Once I find out they're okay, I am rewinding that tape and laughing hysterically.
There was something else that
I can't get enough of that kind of stuff.
I laughed at that I shouldn't have been laughing at. But that was one of them. I'll find the other one. But it
And this is what I was saying about Twitter. Scotty Mac had the same poll going. I didn't see him post the poll. So I kind of stole Scotty's poll.
Oh, yeah?
But a lot of people are talking about the comebacks over the past 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Which is the worst?
Well, which would be the greatest, I would say. I mean, I guess you could phrase it, which was the worst choke job, but which was the greatest comeback of the past 12 months? Pats down 25 to the Falcons, Cavs down 3-1 to Golden State, or Cubs down 3-1 to the Tribe. And I think there's a lot of recency bias going on right now because 57% are voting Pats over Atlanta. But yeah. Think about that. We'll talk about that throughout the afternoon, and we'll get into whatever happened on Saturday night because that was one hell of a game. Leafs-Bruins, and Toronto found a way to survive. It was like deja vu, but the script changed.
Came out the other side.
We'll get to that in 2 minutes. All right, take it or leave it trivia later in the hour. Ray just after 5, Marcellus Wiley at 5:30 today. We're out here at 6:30 because the Leafs are in Brooklyn taking on the Islanders pregame at 6:30, puck drop just after 7 p.m. And this has been a season of very entertaining games. Like, the Leafs have supplied us with some very entertaining games, but for me, that was the most entertaining game of the season on Saturday night.
Probably not for Mike Babcock, but for you, yeah.
And there's a number of reasons why, but first and foremost, they actually wanted regulation.
Well, I was going to say, if they lose that game, are you saying that's entertaining? Are you saying?
Oh, I would say it was thoroughly entertaining, but I would put it where I put the Winnipeg game and the Chicago game and the Ottawa game opening night,
right,
where they had leads and there was a lot of back and forth and a lot of breakdowns. But the fact that they lost those games in overtime or in a shootout, I think pushes that down the list. The fact that JVR scored the way that he did after Brown scored, after Bergeron scored, that Saturday night was, man, if you can bottle that.
It was this last sport, shot.
It was incredible.
Last shot on goal wins. That's what it was. Because I didn't think the Leafs were really good throughout the whole night. They had good stretches. Tuukka Rask wasn't very good. You know, Willie Nye, I know he had the hat trick, but two of those goals were bad goals on Rask. If he's on his game, he makes those saves. And, you know, that's a difference. And I know Ray loves high-scoring games, and that game was quite exciting. But the one consistent factor when you see high-scoring games is you're seeing it's not – so much of what the players are doing, it's been bad goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
That's that 7-6 Pittsburgh game with Washington. Braden Holtby got the hook that night. Rask got the hook that night.
And what's been clear here is when Freddie Anderson decides that he's going to mail in a few games, man, does he get swimming.
Yeah.
Like, he gets swimming. And that's 3 games in a row where he has not looked good.
It's almost like they got to make a decision, like get McElhinney in the net more, like, this guy, it's that point in the season where he hasn't done it a whole lot. I don't know what the best method is or routine for him, but he's kind of creeping towards the Freddie that played the first 2 weeks of the season.
But this is all new for him.
And that's not good.
No, but you're right. This is all new for him. This is ups and downs. I'm talking later about Carey Price. Carey Price was all world in October, November, December, had a little foot off the gas a little bit. January wasn't that great. Like, these starting goaltenders, doesn't matter if it's Freddie Anderson, Carey Price, Cam Talbot, go right through the league.
I think you throw on top of it, Jamie, the schedule, too. It's just impossible to be consistent.
But every guy has to do it. With the World Cup and these 5-day breaks, the schedule's condensed even more, and it's a grind for them. You're right. It's going to be hard.
He gets thrown out there again tonight. It sounds like Anderson will more than likely play. You have to believe McElhinney will play tomorrow night when they're at home. But that's a difficult, difficult setup. Like, this is the end of a 6-game road trip that was broken up by the All-Star break,
right, which
is almost an added trip because you know guys were flying somewhere and then had to fly back to Toronto and then fly to Dallas. But they got a chance to salvage this. They win tonight. They go 3-3 on the 6-game roadie. You'll take that every single day of the week considering the way they've been playing.
Right.
But then Dallas is at the ACC tomorrow night. It doesn't get any easier. And I think another thing about the game on Saturday and the final result, it saved them from a narrative that they wanted nothing to do with, because they played horribly in Dallas. They got smoked against St. Louis. If you blow a 4-1 lead and lose in regulation or even in overtime or a shootout, the 18-wheeler references would have been nonstop.
Right.
Nonstop for the past 48 hours. It would have been trending worldwide. Hashtag 18-wheeler. Here we go. The Maple Leafs are done. And it was ugly at times. Didn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but they found a way to stop it. That's why that win was so important. I'm not convinced they're out of the woods here. I don't know how they're going to play tonight, quite frankly. I really don't. But it was such an important 2 points in regulation.
I think the last time they were in that building, wasn't it garbage again?
Yeah, they lost 5-2 on a Sunday night.
It was Enroth played. And
Johnny Enns was in net.
They were terrible. And
yeah, they were.
And the Islanders are starting to roll here. They've been really hot with Doug Weight behind the bench. So we'll keep teeing up the game tonight, keep looking back on what was an incredible weekend. Rays coming up in about 20 minutes. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.
Take it or leave it trivia with the O-Dog.
All right, we have Morgan from Thornhill. O-Dog, do you have the questions?
Morgan, are you ready for this?
I am ready.
You understand how this works. Three questions. You got to get one right. And at the end, you have the chance to keep the money or let it ride going into Friday to win a trip.
All right.
First question, who performed at the halftime show at the only Super Bowl I've ever attended? It was in Jacksonville, Florida.
No idea.
You weren't listening, Morgan.
He was a Wrong. Beetle.
You weren't Wrong. Listening. No hints, man. No way. You had to hear that earlier in the hour.
All right, man. You're under the gun now. Before the Patriots' historic comeback last night, what was the largest comeback in Super Bowl history? We're looking for the amount of points.
It was 10 points.
Yes!
Attaboy, Vern.
And Morgan. Last one. How many Super Bowls have the Falcons played in?
Two.
Yes, sir.
All right. By my math, that's $100 for my man Morgan. You want to keep the cash or do you want to let it ride for Friday?
Let it ride.
Yeah.
Love it. Thanks.
Yes. Love it. Thanks. Good man, Morgan. Man. Congrats,
thank you,
buddy, and good luck. Stay on hold, okay?
Yeah.
There's Morgan from Thornhill.
Have you had people hang up?
I love this segment, man.
Probably, yeah. I think people have hung up.
They're like, thanks, and then they hang up, and they're like, they call back in. I'm like, I was the guy on.
Well, if you do that, you're screwed because you might not get Steph again.
Right. You may never get back in. And even if Steph answers, she may not be able to verify your
claim.
Who won
last week? Was it somebody from our show?
Yeah, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah. So there you go.
$500? Or what is the...
No, you can win $5,000.
Mark,
you can win a trip for four to Jamaica.
That's awesome.
They don't know.
They don't care about that kind of stuff.
Honestly.
Yeah, so you can play every morning on Naylor and Landsberg in the morning or right here on Overdrive. And then on Friday, Boys in the Morning will decide who wins.
His name was Morgan?
Morgan from Thornhill.
Morgan's going to win.
You're throwing some faith behind Morgan.
He had to get McCartney. We were talking about McCartney.
That's the thing, man. When did this guy tune in? What was he? Was he waiting for the Leaf talk or was he just waiting for the cue to call and he got through? I don't know. We'll see about that.
If you're going to be on the radio, you have to turn your radio off. Because if he had us on in the background, wouldn't it act up?
Well, it would, but that's during the call. That's not 40 minutes ago when we were talking about McCartney at your Super Bowl.
It was awful.
Anyway, we got to get into Jeannie Bouchard and the mess she got herself into on Twitter. The O-Dog's snowboarding career may have come to an end over the weekend. Ray's coming up, Marcellus Wiley as well. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.